So building on some stuff, one thing I wanted to identify for everybody are the FEMA zones. So if anybody doesn't know what a FEMA zone is, these are flood hazard areas. There are basically two zones in the harbor, the AE zone and the VE zone, and really the AE zone is sort of the basic sort of 1% chance of a flood in a certain period of time, but that's like the base zone. And then the VE zone is the, I used to call them velocity zones, but really what it means is there's a higher chance that you're going to have flooding based on storms and wave action as opposed to other zones, which are based on like a different, it's a higher likelihood that there's going to be more wave action. So each zone has a base flood elevation, and that's what those numbers are in each of these areas. Right here, here. So the base flood elevation is the point at which you have to start your finished floor elevation, so you have to build up to that point. So it's without getting into too much detail, like if the grade of the elevation of this parking lot were at 10 feet and you wanted to put a structure here, it would have to be at 11 feet, the start of the finished floor. That doesn't mean there can't be things under it. And then there's a different set of rules within an AE zone and a VE zone, depending on how you do your construction. So there's a whole flood zone ordinance, and it's all related to flood insurance.
Noel, how do you read? I'm not sure I understand what I'm looking at when I see the piers and the wharves are kind of faded. Does that mean they're underwater, or does it simply mean they're in the water and it's distinct from the land?
Well, what it really means is I wanted you to see the structures underneath the colors, so that you could see that this whole developed area, for example, is within a VE zone of it with an elevation of 16 feet. So that when you look at it, as we're sort of planning, I don't know what the actual elevation of this is, but a pier isn't really a structure with regard to the flood zone. It's all these other things, like if you put the Harbor Master's building out here, for example, that would have to be built up higher than the pier because you need the flooding to go underneath the structure and then be able to pull back out. So the color is only because I had to fade on
all
the map.
Right.
So you could see what the intent of this map is for us to start to think about, okay, as we get into the waterfront and we're starting to talk about ideas and development, we're going to want to overlay this map and a couple other ones that I have coming on here to say, all right, what does the flood zone say about this area? What is the potential for sea level rise in this area? And how do we start to think about development. And I know the city's already done a lot of work trying to make sure the flood zones are the correct flood zones because FEMA just went through a whole remapping process and there were a lot of changes. And I think the person you had working on it did a really good job of making sure that, these were more accurately represented than they had been in the past.
Go
ahead.
Do I understand correctly that FEMA flood zones are based on current sea level and they don't contemplate a change?
Yeah, they're based on current conditions. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
I have two questions. One is, when I'm looking at these numbers and I see, for instance, flood zone AE 11, that's 11 feet, but where is it measured from?
That's based on the mean grade of the sea level is zero and then everything above that. I think that's how they do it.
Okay. And then the other question I have is, we're looking at a lot of charts and plans. How can we access this on our own? Let's say if I wanted to go back tomorrow and study this.
Yep.
How could I do that?
So my first suggestion is actually the town's website has already a bunch of this stuff on it, and there's a good resource in the town that would give you the information that you need, so you could actually zoom in. There's a bunch of different layers. It's all based on the town's GIS system, so you could click on flood zone and it would tell you. If you looked at you're really interested in this property over here, you can zoom right in on it, click on it, you could know what the flood zone would be. Yeah. So I would say if you're really interested to do this on your own, I have a program that I've put all this in, which is basically the same thing that the town uses, a GIS program. But if you want to do it on your own, just try the town's website because it is GIS but on the web, so it's easy to kind of maneuver around.
But all of what you're projecting for us tonight, do we have access to that?
From the town's website, yeah.
Okay, everything. Yep. Okay.
For the most part. The only thing you don't is sea level rise. And I'll share all this with you. The hard part is, in order to manipulate it, like, in a helpful way, you really need the programs that I'm working with. So that's why I'm suggesting, if you want to manipulate it, the town has that resource.
Yes. The state also has a good GIS mapping thing that has a few layers that the city doesn't have available.
Yeah. I think I'd start with the town.
Yeah. But you'll send this to me, and we'll put this whole presentation online on our website.
Under our committee.
Yeah, under our committee.
So we can find it there rather than hunting through all the stuff in the town. Okay.
And if I can find some of those links to the city stuff, I'll put those website too.
As I said, my idea is to take this and sort of tighten it up a little bit, but this is all just the starting point, so it isn't the end product. But what I'm trying to do here is say, here's the entire harbor, that way. But you kind of have to zoom in and around to really get a sense. You see the scale, even on a 24 by 36 sheet, is really hard to get to. So you really want to be able to zoom in and zoom out. So I'm trying to figure out ways that we can do that at a committee meeting, which is probably going to be through PDF and stuff. But for this presentation, I just wanted to be able to share, on a higher level where we are.
Predictions. Some things are already on our web space on the city's website. There's some maps already on there of predictions of tide rise.
Yep, I've got that, too.
Yeah. I mean, so some of that stuff's already there if you want to nose around there.
Speak of the devil.
Yeah.
So the other thing I think is really interesting as we get into it, and don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time going over this tonight, but it is a topic that I think we do need to think about, because if we're talking about, investments or access projects or anything like that, we may want to think about, okay, well, what does that mean for, let's just be aware that there are some sea level rise predictions. And so what does that mean? How do we think about that? And one of the things, it's hard to zoom in on this particular map, but I wanted to just show folks the progression. So the bottom, this side is basically the highest, we'll call it the highest annual tide. That's a elevation-based measurement that the DEP has of where the highest tide is, average around the whole. You see, it pretty much reflects most of the waterfront. These are all piers, so the water would essentially be under them, hopefully. Under them in this scenario. But when you start to add 1 foot of high, 1 foot to the highest annual tide, we're going to progress to 6 feet. But you start to see areas where the tide starts to encroach under or over the land. And this one shows the progression of the red line is the highest annual tide, and the pinkish purple line right here are areas where, sea level rise would start to encroach more and more higher elevations. And this one is the 6 feet more. And you can see, like, quite a bit of these areas are starting to become a potential issue that we have to look at. Mm-hmm. So I need to do a little more, sort of digging on this, but I just wanted to pick the worst-case scenario here, 6 feet, and then show, the zoomed-in version of what that means. Here's the highest annual tide plus 6 feet. That's where the new highest annual tide would be.
Is that the highest annual tide to date? That's like over...
This is like a 2015 highest annual tide right here, the red line.
Okay. It would be helpful to know, as you progress, and probably you're already planning to do this, who's predicting what? So if the commonly accepted model is Noah's model and it's 3 feet by 2050 or whatever it is, it would be helpful to cite whatever the source is and kind of the range of uncertainty in that model.
Yeah.
And then for planning purposes, it's helpful to think about, is we're thinking about infrastructure, say we're making a 30-year investment in something, what do the models show for that 30 years? And it helps us assess whether there's a policy recommendation about making sure you include something in your capital planning.
Except that these charts aren't based on a prediction of a year or anything. This is just purely based on, this is what our average or our high tide is, our annual high tide is, and using the geographic lines, if you add 6 feet in tide, this is what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. The next step is what you're saying is, when is this going to happen?
Right.
Yeah. And kind of what's our planning horizon?
And that's a separate issue from what he's done here, though.
It's a more detailed analysis.
The next step.
There's a lot to dig into in terms of this stuff, and these are like NOAA models, and I like the idea of citing some of this stuff. But yeah, definitely sea level rises are one of the topics, so we have some things to think about there. But I think it's, you know, the important thing is we recognize that it's a possibility, and there are some rollout discussions that have to happen regarding that.